Cowboy.
This is SB Nation AM.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
And a good Friday morning to you, SB Nation AM, SB Nation Radio. Tony D, Ron Culver in the morning. And yeah, we reached the end of the week, and it feels like a month ago. It feels like 3 months. It doesn't feel like a week that we were going, oh my God, it's all done. It's all cut down. Remember a week ago? The news 7 days ago was everything is shut down. Everything now. Because the NCAA tournament called it quits. And then everything else was following suit after the NBA. Yeah, the NBA got things rolling, and then everybody else jumped in. The NCAA waited, and then Thursdays all the games were, the conference games halted. And then they announced the suspension of the tournament, the cancellation of the tournament. And we had, it's been 7 days, but it feels like a month ago. It feels a lifetime ago. And that's kind of what happens. And the reality of this virus has been a number of things, right? We're all figuring out how to get by it, all figuring out what our lives are going to look like. And then yesterday you get a piece of information that Sean Payton tested positive for the coronavirus. Marcus Smart, two Los Angeles Lakers, also tested positive. Kevin Durant has tested positive for it. Daniel Day Kim, the actor, Tom Hanks has it. Now, obviously you hope that eventually we reach a point where it's another virus that we deal with that's treatable, and you go to the doctor and they give you something for it, and eventually you get over it, much like other things. But it is a little scary, especially when you see people in the sports world, for example, get it and they have it and you don't know exactly what that means. But again, there are still things to talk about, and there's still things to look forward to, because we're not exactly shutting everything down. Right? Yeah, we're still waiting for the start of Major League Baseball. And the NBA may have some sort of tournament in mind when we are allowed to clear out a little bit more. But the NFL still is making big news and big decisions. A year, 13 months ago, we were having a conversation in Atlanta about the absence of a particular running back. And now we kind of know why. The big news on Todd Gurley and the Rams, that's coming up, because that set the tone, that contract, for things that we'll not see in the future. Next.
This is SB Nation AM. On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
And glad you can be with us, SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM, as we continue along this week. Yeah, it's been a difficult week, but it's been good to have all this news from the National Football League. Some of it really good. And then some of it kind of sad, and I feel bad for Todd Gurley. Not bad like he's going to be broke bad, but bad because it wasn't that long ago that Todd Gurley signed this mega deal. He was the face of a franchise. He got $60 million to run the football. And it looked like if you were a running back in this league, like, oh, Todd Gurley can get that kind of money, I could get that kind of money too. Like Ezekiel Elliott, Derrick Henry. Right? Anybody else in the future that's going to be a running back in this league? Yeah, but what happens when you have knee trouble? They cut you and let you go. So Todd Gurley gets canned. He's gone. And it's going to make every general manager really sit back and think, gee, should I really pay my running back that much money? Nope. Am I going to get hamstrung again like the Rams, who've got now these dead dollars on the books because they went a little overboard with a running back that saw decline in production? Remember the Super Bowl? Remember the postseason? Forget the Super Bowl. Remember the postseason on their run to the Super Bowl a year and a half ago?
Oh, yeah.
Remember everyone was like, what's wrong with them? well, he must be struggling with knee injury or something. And they were like, no, no, he's not. No, he's fine. We actually called those the best plays possible. And we just limited him because that's what the game plan dictated. And people are like, no, that doesn't seem right.
Yeah.
Like, no, don't listen to, no, don't believe all the hype.
Well, because in that situation, especially when you look back at the Super Bowl, if they were getting blown out by the Patriots, sure. Then we can say, okay, that's what the game plan dictated.
Sure.
But they weren't getting blown out.
Had 10 carries and a reception. That was it.
Yeah.
In a 13-3 game.
That's a close game. Yep. That's still a manage the clock type of game.
That's right. Plenty of chances to take the lead in the game. And Gurley was really nowhere. And he was nowhere in the postseason. And everybody started questioning the Rams about the injury. And they threw it. Instead of, you know, even after the season, instead of just being honest and, yeah, he was struggling, we didn't want to give the Patriots any sort of insight, they said no. And then last year he had decline in production again. And now he's not on the team anymore. That's how quick it goes. It again, listen, I don't want to beat a dead horse here, but it's another reminder how tough this league is, how really hard this league is. Whereas when you are in baseball and you sign a guy to, if you had the same level of contract in Major League Baseball, that team would be stuck with that player or making phone calls to try to ship him and may not be able to ship him. You know, if the same circumstances were in play. If you had a guy that was the face of your franchise and you were paying huge money to, and he was hurt and he wasn't producing anymore, and you realized you could live without him, and you could give that spot in the lineup to somebody else, and you were making phone calls and nobody else wanted an injured player at that kind of salary, you would be stuck with that player. And the NFL doesn't work that way. What you see is the player gets gone. There's some dead money on the in the system that the team has to deal with moving forward, but that's the cruel world of this league. Sure. I mean, listen, Todd Gurley got $45 million guaranteed. I'm not crying for him because he's broke. All right. I'm not going down that road, but he's 25 years old and he's got bad knees and it's possible that he's going to barely bounce around this league anymore. I mean, he might get healthy and he might have a resurgence. Who knows? But it's also possible he'll just bounce around this league and maybe be out of it by the time he's 28. I don't know. I've seen it both ways.
Do you think he ends up in Tampa?
Yeah, right. Maybe so. Right? Do you need a barely alive running back, a barely healthy running back?
God, I saw somebody put together a lineup for Tampa Bay.
This must have been good.
Oh, it was fantastic. Included Mike Allstock coming back to Tampa. Rob Gronkowski going to Tampa. It's like, why not?
Hey, why not? Gronk, that would be fun. Like, if Gronk was like, I'll give you another year.
Yeah,
I'm still young.
I got it.
Let's go have some fun down in Tampa.
Hey, Jason Witten wasn't all that bad last year. Why not? I'll throw my hat into the ring.
Yeah. I mean, I can't wait to see what that looks like. You know what's funny about that story? I'm going to get to it later, but with you get Brady in New England, right? And you got all these players that would love to go to New England because they know that if they can get on the roster, they get to play with one of the best quarterbacks in the game and the best coach in the league. And it's almost a shot to the postseason where more than likely they go to the Super Bowl. But you have to convince Belichick, right? You have to be on Belichick's team. Brady may have a little bit of input, but that's all Belichick. This is going to be different. Brady can convince Bruce. Now, I'm not saying Bruce Arians is a pushover, but Brady can convince Bruce Arians and the Buccaneers to bring in certain guys he wants to play with. He's going to have a lot more say, and that was what he wanted when he was going into free agency in the first place. Yeah, you know, like I said, Bruce Arians is going to make some calls and Jason Like is going to make some calls, but Brady is going to have tremendous input in this process. So if he likes you and you like him and you think that that you have something left, there's a possible deal for you to go to Tampa Bay and play with this guy. I don't know what money you'd get or what the circumstances would be, but if you just want to play with Brady and he really wants to play with you, there's a better chance of that happening than trying to convince Belichick you're worthy. So this could be really interesting for Brady and the Buccaneers to see what kind of team, you know, of the players that want to go there and want to play with them. But look, this Clay Matthews got cut yesterday and Todd Gurley got cut yesterday. And a lot of it is because the salary cap is a cruel business sometimes. You know, Matthews, you kind of get. He's been around, been in the league a long time, right? It was only a two-year deal.
He's on the downside now.
Right, yeah, exactly. So that you kind of get. And if you can save money there, that's what happened with Clay Matthews is a typical salary cap move. That happens all the time. Those kind of things happen all the time. But what it's not that we couldn't see the Gurley separation coming. We kind of knew that there was an injury here. There was a lack of production that we saw late in 2018 and into 2019. But it still is a reminder how cruel this league is. He was the face of their franchise.
Well, I mean, and it's just bizarre because, what was it? I mean, it was like 3 years ago. I mean, he was almost the face of the NFL.
Yeah, that's right. 2017, which prompted the big deal when he had huge numbers.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden, just like that. I mean, it just shows you, too, like a running back shelf life.
Yeah.
It's very rare now that we get someone like an Adrian Peterson that has been able to sustain for as long.
And it's funny because we live in this world sometimes where fans, we still don't get it because we see a guy like when Ezekiel Elliott was like, I'm holding out. And people were like, selfish. But if you're a running back, you cannot see past 30 years old. You can't. You have to get your money when you can. You're not in a healthy position. You are in a beat up all the time position. So you have to look at your 20s and what you can produce, and you have to get paid, and you have to hold out for that deal, and you have to kind of be a jerk about it, and you have to kind of alienate people with how selfish you could be, because if you don't get like I said earlier about Gurley, I'm not crying for him. He got $45 million guaranteed out of that deal plus whatever they paid him, so he made out good, but his career and the future of his career is in doubt. And that's the warning sign all these teams are going to have with the running back. If you get a running back at 23 and you think he's going to be good for a couple of years, you know, might as well pay him now. But it's a warning to everybody. Don't be surprised if in a very short amount of time you're working on a deal to get him off your team.
Or on the flip side, how long do you or how far can you extend a contract in the rookie contract?
That's right.
Like, you know, now you're going to start seeing teams like, well, let's see if we can push them, you know, for a 5-year deal or a 6-year deal.
Yep.
And look, I don't even know if that's allowed, but I mean, that's probably going to be the thinking. Like, let's get our money's worth out of them, and then when that big contract comes up or the big deal comes up, maybe we'll give them 2 years.
Yeah. The big debate here in Nashville was with the Titans was who are you going to franchise? You're going to franchise Derrick Henry and work out a deal with Ryan Tannehill? Are you going to franchise Ryan Tannehill and work out the deal with Derrick Henry? Right. And the argument on the Henry side is he's a battering ram. I mean, he carries the ball a lot. He carries a heavy load. And if you work out that long-term deal with Derrick Henry, you possibly put a financial trap on the team. Whereas you give your quarterback these kind of deals. You give your quarterback these kind of deals. And unfortunately with running backs, you wait and see. You franchise them and see what happens. But yeah, this is the GM dilemma. Because it's such a volatile position. And it seems like you get more and more of these kind of stories where the running back just didn't work out like we thought he would. And Gurley's the perfect example of it. It is now down to that kind of situation where we're reminded once again how the tables can turn so quickly on a player that 13 months ago we were talking about him and how he could possibly lead the Rams to this championship and what were they doing with him and why wasn't he playing much and are we going to see him more against this Patriots defense? And we were talking about this in depth, how important he was to 13, close to 14 months later, we're talking about him looking for a new job. I mean, it's that quick. It's that quick in this league. On Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver, that's Ron with two N's as we continue along. More NFL news to get to because the quarterback situation is still a little topsy-turvy for some players. Who? Next on SB Nation AM.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, have a car problem but don't know where to go? Maybe you're not close to home when your car breaks down, so let O'Reilly Auto Parts help. With O'Reilly Auto Parts Shop Referral Program, take the guesswork out of finding a great shop wherever you are. Call an O'Reilly location near you or visit O'ReillyAuto.com. Click Find a Repair Shop to find a reputable repair facility or service center for your repairs. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better parts, better prices every day. I got a quick question. Is there a lot of hoarding at your supermarkets in Houston?
On what? What product?
Well, everything. Like, if you walk in and you're like, I want, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to make lasagna this weekend. We're all cooped in. I'm going to go get, and then go in and just find all your ingredients, no problem.
I think that part of it's starting to get better. I mean, you can't find hand sanitizer to save your life.
Right, but I'm just...
That's just done.
Because everyone in my town is posting pictures of our local supermarkets with bare shelves.
Well, you're finally coming around to it, Tony.
Is that what...
I think so. I mean, how long has it been that way for you?
I guess a week. Week or so.
Okay. I mean, I guess...
Maybe less than that.
Yeah, it started for us last weekend, so...
So I'm like... But I keep going, why are we doing this? Like, I because... So... I asked this to my wife, and I go, so why is this happening? And she goes, well, coronavirus. I go, I know. No, no. There's a larger issue here. It's not corona. It's not, that's not the answer. What are making people?
Corona.
Why are is it? And I said this in all honesty. I said, are people here prone to the kind of natural disasters like a tornado where they feel like I can't even leave? Like something big will come and I won't even be able to leave my house and I'll starve to death.
See, I think that's what it is.
Is that what it is?
That's what people are feeling is that, oh my God, we're never going to be able to leave the house. But then you look at like California. California, the whole state's on lockdown now. Except you are allowed to go to the grocery store, the pharmacy. You can still go to the bank.
Right, okay.
And you can go to the doctors. And I'm sitting there going, okay, well, that's that. I mean... You're allowed to go to the grocery store. It's not like you're going to be. I guess what people fear is what's going on in over in Asia, where they arrested you, almost beat you to a pulp if you weren't, if you didn't have proper direction on where you were going or
gotcha.
Or if I mean, I've seen some people get arrested or get berated for not wearing a mask.
Yeah, that's I can understand.
Yeah,
I think
I think that's what people look at. It's like, that's going to be us. It's like, no, that's not going to be us.
No,
you're allowed to go to the grocery store and go get that last can of Spam if you need to.
But I did tell my wife. I said, look, and I said, look, they're not giving this food away. I mean, people are paying a big. Like, if you're hoarding all the steaks, like what?
Yeah,
like that's a big. Price.
Well, that's your neighbor somewhere in Tennessee.
Yeah, and it's like
gotten big trouble because he was hoarding all the hand sanitizer.
That's right.
Now he can't sell it.
He can't sell it, so he's giving it away. He had 17,000 bottles of hand sanitizer because he was, and his story is interesting. He saw this in the news. And he got onto it really early, like way before anybody was really even scared about it in this country. He said, that's going to happen. So him and his brother went and drove around all these little small Dollar Trees and little small places and bought up all the hand sanitizer. And they were more than happy to sell it to him. So he bought up cases of it. And then eventually he was like, he got a truck. He went from Chattanooga all the way up to Kentucky. He went every little small town in the state. He just bought up all the, so he had 17,000 bottles.
Yeah.
And then he was like selling them online. And now here was the thing in the article, cause I read the whole thing. Cause I was like, I gotta find out this guy's psyche. So he was selling these, packages of hand sanitizer for like $20, which was price gouging. But he said, look, I have to put this through the mail, and you can't just put hand sanitizer in the mail like you're mailing a DVD. I mean, you have to pay a special price to mail that kind of stuff. So it's costly. And he goes, so it's not really, I was trying to make a profit, but I wasn't charging $20 for a bottle if somebody came to my house to get it. It was all the going to get it, putting in a package, paying for the right packaging and shipping it out. And he goes, people were willing to pay for it. But he got his little business shut down. Like eBay and Amazon shut down his little hand sanitizer business. And that was it. And he was left with all this stuff. And I think he's donating it or he's trying to do something good because that article certainly didn't help his public image at all. So I'm sure he was like, well, better get a good PR spin out of this. I'm going to be donating it to various locations. 17th. What do you do with 17,000 bottles of hand sanitizer?
I have no idea.
In your garage.
I mean, I guess he was sitting there going, all right, we got 17,000. We sell $20 a pop.
Right.
Maybe their hard cost is $4 or $5. So he's making 15 on each transaction.
Yeah.
Like, okay, that's some decent money.
Decent coin.
You know, I was reading that article too, and he pointed out that it's kind of Amazon's fault.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, because Amazon doesn't regulate that well. I was like, okay, well, I think they are now.
It's kind of a weird thing because he had an online business, so I guess you could get him for price gouging. But if I have an item and somebody and I want, you know, and I put it on eBay and they want, you know, they overbid, well, how am I supposed to, what am I supposed to do? Stop that and go, well, no, this doesn't really cost $1,000.
Yeah. I mean, I guess you can probably get away with it on eBay.
Right.
Unless eBay has changed over the years, but I mean, because I haven't bought anything on
eBay. That's what I always thought
eBay
were, how eBay worked.
Yeah. I mean, I haven't bought anything on eBay in years.
Yeah, I know.
But when it first came out, yeah, I would sit there and, you know, try to play the games. Like, all right, there's 30 seconds left. Let me put this bid in and see if I can get it for the price that I want to pay.
Yeah.
Used to do that all the time.
See what happens. So, yeah, it's just weird to me. Who knows? In a week, I might be, you know, unshaven and scavenging around for food. I don't know, you know.
Well,
I might be in the same boat, but.
My mom had pointed out a meme that she had read, and it just, you know, she keeps laughing about it, and she tells me about it constantly, and has told me a couple of times. And it actually is really funny, is the fact that when this is all said and done, we will know everyone's true hair color.
Yeah, good point. That's true. That's right. Good point. All those necessities are gone. All those little luxury items will be out.
Yep.
That's a good point. That's a good point. No, it's a weird, you know, it's just a weird thing. To just see the people super, like, I remember one time we have a supermarket. We have a number of supermarkets in my town, but we have one that is not as popular. For whatever reason, whenever I go there to pick up something, it's usually pretty empty. And I remember walking through it one day and I'm like, God, if you were only a handful of people left on Earth, you know, look at all of this food that's in this one supermarket in this one little small town that nobody's shopping at on a Wednesday night, right? All of this food. And that place wiped out. Like, that place has got posted pictures. All the cereal is gone. All the meats are gone. All the ramen is gone, right? Like, everything. Like, all these empty shelves. And it's like, this is crazy. What are you doing with all that stuff? You should be able to go back and get more. Like, the supply chain isn't going to be, last time I checked, wasn't supposed to be disrupted, right? The trucks will still come in. I'll be loading you up with the Count Chocula or the Frankenberry that you so love. You know, you don't need to buy 10 boxes of it today.
And that's what's bizarre.
Yeah, isn't that?
That actually is happening, is that you go in there and you, I mean, it's just funny. It took my wife, I think it was maybe her fifth or sixth trip to the store to finally get eggs.
Yeah, that's what my wife said. Same thing. My wife said, listen, eat the cereal. She goes, but when we run out of milk, milk's hard to find. What do you mean milk's hard to find?
And we're in the opposite. Like, we have another gallon of milk because we didn't panic buy, but we did buy an extra gallon of milk just in case.
You might as well if you're there. You never know.
But now the problem is I got a gallon of milk that we haven't even cracked open yet that expires like in 5 days. And I'm like, okay, we got to – maybe it's cereal for breakfast this weekend.
How about cereal for lunch and dinner?
Exactly.
Keep drinking it.
We got to get rid of this milk. I'm not throwing this thing out.
It's funny. Yeah, I posted this on yesterday because after the show yesterday, I was just kind of flipping through, binge watching some shows. I'm like, oh, you know, I haven't watched Walking Dead in a while. Let me catch up with that. I turned it on and I went, oh my God, this is too close to home. I got to turn this thing off. I was freaking out. I was like, every time I've watched this show, I never dreamed that like something like that would really happen. Now I'm watching it like we're not that far away from like. Everyone in arms, like, shooting each other for biscuits. Like, I mean, seriously.
It's so funny. I was thinking about that driving in. It's because, you know, the streets are desolate.
Yeah.
I mean, usually it's this time in the morning, but it's desolate. And I'm all of a sudden, I'm just looking around. I'm like, all right, when am I going to see that guy just kind of like, you know, dragging his right foot down
right,
the street?
Right, right.
And please, God, if it does come to that, can we have the Walking Dead zombies, not the World War Z I Am Legend zombies?
Yeah, I don't need the fast moving
superhuman.
Yeah, ooh, I don't need that.
Because you know what? I'll be honest with you. I'm done.
Yeah, I know.
I'm not outrunning a World War Z zombie.
No, I'm a nice, tasty. I'm the guy you bring because secretly you know I can't keep up with the rest of the group.
Yeah.
Like, hey, I'm going to take Bob and Jim and Tony. You come with us, too. And everybody knows why you're bringing me. So when push comes to shove, I'm the meal. in the zombie apocalypse. All right, coming up next, Cam Newton and Jameis Winston still don't have homes. Where would they end up likely landing? We'll talk about that next.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, this portion of SB Nation Radio is brought to you in part by Hims, the best choice in ED medication and men's wellness. Visit forhims.com/easy. That's forhims.com/easy. So, Jameis Winston is going to be looking for a new home, and Cam Newton is going to be looking for a new home. Here's the problem. Because of this coronavirus situation, they can't work out for teams. They can't go to the team facilities to chat, talk, have a physical, any of those, especially if you're Cam Newton. Because if you're Cam Newton and you're trying to show off a little bit of health, this you can't go to the facility to show off anything that you're doing. You know, there's ways to go about it. You can be filmed, et cetera, but teams want to talk to you. They want to get a look at you. And if you're, you know, in the running, but both of them are going to need a home and both of them are going to need to find their role in the NFL in 2020. If indeed there is a season. Now, if you Jameis Winston, right, we talked about him when Tom Brady went to the Buccaneers, right? This is a quarterback that is a boom or bust kind of player. When he's good, he's good. When he's bad, he's really bad. He's really terrible. Turns the ball over a lot. So there is a level of ego that has to be on your current team, whether it's your offensive coordinator, quarterback's coach, head coach, whatever, that thinks you're the right guy. That Jameis Winston, who's played, you know, 5 years in this league, has never really found somebody that can take him out of this mode. He's been doing this kind of football pretty much since he's gotten into the NFL. It would take a level of ego to say, but he hasn't worked with me. I got this. I can trim those interceptions down. Yesterday, I thought Pat Donovan, who was on our show from WDAE, said something really interesting. Look, if Jameis Winston last year for the Buccaneers had 15 interceptions, that's middle of the road, right? That's not great, but it's not 30, right? The Buccaneers win a few more games, put themselves in a position to make a push towards the playoffs. Don't know if they get in, but you know, they win a few more of those games. Imagine if you know that as an NFL scout / quarterback coach / offensive coordinator, whatever your title may be, but that's your job to observe those kind of things, to analyze those kind of things. And you feel like this is this guy, I can trim down the interceptions. I know I can. I can work with this guy. Who would that be? You know, we talked about it. Maybe if you're Josh McDaniels, do you call in Belichick and go, I think this might be a guy? Or do they stick with Jared Stidham? Cam Newton is entirely different because Cam Newton can play when healthy. He has a level and a set of skills that has proven to be MVP worthy. Now, you're not going to get I don't think you'll ever get an MVP season from him again, but he's gone down that path. And he can win you games when he's healthy. The problem is, can you find out if he's healthy? Can you determine for yourself, given the virus, you know, rules that we have now? You can't go to, you're not allowed to go for social distancing, all that other stuff. Can Cam Newton and his team convince, you know, other teams from afar that he can play? Which one is more fascinating to me? Which one landing in a spot is more fascinating? To me, it's Winston. It's not so much Newton. Because I think when all of this calms down and we do get back into the real business where Newton can go to teams and talk and show his skill, I think it's black and white. He either can play because he's healthy or he's still harboring some injury that makes teams cautious. And if he lands somewhere as a backup, he lands somewhere as a backup. But we'll know why, right? Because it's physical. Winston, I find more interesting because it's more mental, right? It's more what's between his ears than rather any physical ailment that's preventing him to throw the football. If he ends up as a starter for a team, like if the example of the Patriots, if Josh McDaniels says, I'm taking a shot on this guy, right? Let's take a shot on this guy. Okay. if he ends up anywhere else as a play, as, you know, he lands with the Chargers or another team that might be interested in finding another quarterback, then we'll know how that team thinks of his level of skill. But if they don't, and he ends up like Marcus Mariota, just signing a backup deal and trying to play out his time, that'll also say where the league is with him. Maybe he's just thrown one too many or 10 too many or 15 too many or, heck, 40 more interceptions than teams are comfortable with over his career. And that might be where we're at with him. Right? We saw a flurry of moves by teams with when it came to the quarterback position. Brady is going to go to Tampa, and Phillip Rivers is going to go to the Indianapolis Colts, and Nick Foles is gone from Jacksonville, and he's in Chicago now, and Gardner Minshew is going to take over that role, and Ryan Tannehill's been locked up in Tennessee, and he's staying right there, and the Chargers still need a quarterback, and Jimmy Garoppolo is going to stay right there in San Francisco. All that nonsense, talk about them trading him, is not going to come to fruition. Right? We've seen some movement. But these two guys, I think, where they go, I think is interesting. I think there is a statement that these teams are going to be making on these two guys, at least today, or at least in the next few months. Now, again, some players have taken that opportunity and stepped up and said, you know what? I can take over this team now and lead you to the postseason and lead you somewhere else. Right? One day, who knows? But at the same time, you know, maybe there's a Nick Foles storyline to Cam Newton. Maybe there's a Nick Foles storyline to Jameis Winston somewhere. Who knows? Right? I never like putting the exclamation point on a guy's career when he's in his 20s like Jameis Winston. There, you do grow as a player. You get a little mature. You see things a little differently. Sometimes you can't take that out of somebody's game. Jay Cutler, it just never was taken out of his game. No matter who he was coaching with, no matter who had him, there was just too many of those that was never removed from his game. But you've seen other players grow a little out of it. You know, and look, that's Jay Cutler, but also a Hall of Fame career like Brett Favre. That was the same thing with him. Right? So you get the good, the guys who are heading to Canton, had great careers. But Brett Favre, that never left Brett Favre's game either. When he was with the Vikings and he threw that pick against the Saints in the playoffs. There's an element to your style that you can't remove. And there's no quarterback coach that can get it out of you. There's no court, you know, it's just the way you see the game and the way you play the game. And for Winston, that may be the case, but Winston is young enough and maybe he's more malleable than that. And with the right guy, he trims those interceptions down and we get more of the boom rather than the bust. But I think there's still more gas in the tank for Cam Newton. It's just a matter of showing the health. Is he healthy enough to showcase that skill and showcase that to some team that's needing him? But I don't know where he goes. I don't know where he goes. That's my, you know, if who would be in the market for a Cam Newton right now? And again, the Chargers, I mean, anybody else floating around that right now is their quarterback position is up in the air so much?
I am.
Yeah. I don't want to see an NFL where a healthy Cam Newton is not employed.
Yeah.
Right? Like an injured Cam Newton, I'll wait. Quick,
I mean, I hate to take it to this point, to this area, but how quickly, if that was the case, does Cam Newton come out and compare himself with Colin Kaepernick?
Oh, true. Oh, that, yeah.
Out of all the players in the NFL, I think he would be the one to try to draw the correlation. Why? I have no idea.
He wouldn't have the reason the Kaepernick
has. But he would do it.
You might be right. He might do that. But he doesn't have the social aspect to make the grade. This would be, why isn't Cam Newton on your roster if he's healthy?
Yeah.
Like if you've got video of his shoulder being fine, his foot being fine, all of those things, what would be the reason that you would not have him on your team if you needed that position?
You're talking about a former NFL MVP.
That's right. That's right. Who can win you games? When healthy, wins you games.
Easily.
But at the same time, you also have to make sure that whatever what team would consider Cam Newton an upgrade, because the teams that would consider it more lateral, that would be out of the question. Right? It's like, well, the Atlanta Falcons aren't going to get rid of Matt Ryan for Cam Newton, right? But you can look around the league and see some teams that are like, well, I think I could see, I definitely could see an upgrade. What do we think right now? And this is obviously going to change as the weeks go on. Where do we honestly think, and this is all speculation and opinion, where the Patriots are going with that quarterback position? Are we buying the Jarrett Stidham is going to be their starter?
That's what we're being sold on.
Right? Are we buying this?
I'm with you. I don't know about...
I'm not 100% sure on this. You can give me all the spin you want. They like him. They think... Sure, and that's great. I like Jarrett Stidham. But are we buying this from Bill Belichick? That this... And Josh McDaniels? That this... Like with... Again... With Winston and Newton, and let's just assume Newton is healthy. Let's just make that assumption because, again, we don't know. But for this hypothetical, let's say he is. Would you be surprised if both of those guys are still on the bench somewhere and looking for a job and Jarrett Stidham is the starter for the New England Patriots? Now, I'm not going to tell you that Bill Belichick wants to get in a race with Tom Brady's last few years to see who can get to the Super Bowl first. I think Belichick is smart enough to see a larger play than that. But wouldn't you be surprised if, like, cause listen, I think McDaniels has the ego to take a Jameis Winston and go, when everybody says no, I'll say yes.
Yeah.
I really truly believe now I'm not saying that he'll make it work, but I'm saying I think he has the ego to go, yeah, no, everybody else, everyone he's worked with, I'm telling you, I'm the guy. I'm telling you, I'm the guy that'll fix him. And, or if a healthy Cam Newton is available and you know this and you see it and you test them out however you can and you see it, I would be hard pressed to believe the Patriots wouldn't be able to work out a deal with Newton to play there rather than go with the former Auburn quarterback, who's good. Don't get me wrong. I like Jarrett Stidham. I think, but if those two guys are available and they are in a position to be signed, I don't know. I think the Patriots would make a phone call and sit down with one or one or the other.
Oh, yeah.
But maybe, just maybe, they are on board with Jarrett Stidham, and that's their guy.
Or, the other rumor that's floating around out there, are they flirting with trying to move up in the draft?
True. That's true. They could be in play for that, too.
I mean, what could they give? I mean, I'm just out of curiosity. Do you think Cincinnati at all is entertaining talks?
Yeah, I was wondering what it would take. I thought about this a couple of days ago. What it would take for Joe Burrow, if you are knowing Andy Dalton is on the outs, and Andy Dalton's another guy I didn't mention that is looking for a home too, right? What honestly could you give the Bengals to have them go, you know what? We're good. It has to be a team. It would have to be a team. You'd have to make sure you could get a quarterback. You'd have to be okay with Justin Herbert or Tua Tagovailoa or any of the other guys in the draft. You'd have to be okay with one of those. Be like, look, we're getting a bunch of picks, and we're okay with getting Tua. I made the case for the Titans 5 years ago with Marcus Mariota. I said this team has too many holes to fill. You don't need Marcus Mariota.
Yeah,
sell that. Trade that pick for a bunch of picks. Find another quarterback, or keep Jake Locker around, at the time it was the kid from LSU. Shoot, name escapes me. Jeez, I can't believe it. It was not that long ago.
Not in this league anymore.
Right. Not in this league anymore. Right. And I said, stay with them and fill your other holes. Get your quarterback somewhere else. But they were like, I want the franchise guy.
I was with you on that one because back in that day, I was all in on, hey, trade Phillip Rivers to the Titans for that.
Yeah,
pick.
Sure. Yeah, that's right. Because Ken Whisenhunt was the coach and everything, yep. Right, at the time. Yeah. Sure.
It's like, I'm all in on that.
I get you. All right, on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's as we continue on the Friday on SB Nation AM.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Thanks for joining us, SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM, and this hour of SB Nation Radio, presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. So I had to look it up because I got a brain freeze on that Titans quarterback.
It happens.
Zach Mettenberger, Former LSU quarterback.
What is he doing now?
I don't know. That's a good question. That's a good question.
God, I mean, everyone was all in on him.
If you told me he was a third string guy for like the Lions, I wouldn't be surprised. But if you told me he opened up a car dealership, I wouldn't be surprised either. Like, or, you know,
he's one of the two.
It's one of the, you know, whatever it is. So, yeah.
Zach Mettenberg Autos.
Back then, before the draft that brought Marcus Mariota to town, I said, you know what? You get rid of that pick. You find the quarterback somewhere else. Use all your picks to fill up all your other holes for your team and go from there. And then they went with Mariota and made him the franchise quarterback, and now he's with the Raiders. But, yeah, what would it take for the Bengals to go, oh, Joe Burrow, Yeah, all right, give us everything. You know, but it, you know, likely will not, because again, having a franchise quarterback, like, you could immediately put him on all the billboards and get everybody excited. That's what they did with Mariota, like the second they drafted him. Like, all of a sudden he was on everything. I mean, he went from being picked to being on billboards within a very short amount of time, right? And he was on the season ticket packages and everything. And so I'm sure there's like, can't wait to get Burrow here, put on a uniform and snap some photographs and stick them on all the merchandise.
All right, you want to hear Matt or Zach Met? I was about to call him Matt Zeckenberger.
Okay, well, where did he go?
Yeah, see, he opened the 2019 AAF season as the third string quarterback behind Christian Hackenberg and Brandon Silvers.
Whoa, what a lineup there.
And then was placed on injured reserve. And then he got passed up in the XFL draft.
Oh, he did? The XFL didn't even want him?
No. But he re-signed with the Spring League as starting quarterback for the Las Vegas Hughes.
Wow, and just think, I wanted the Titans to make him the starting quarterback a couple of years ago. Well done, Tony. Way to pick him. SB Nation AM.